according to the request of Honorable Prime Minister, announcement for convening the Parliament. According to the Gazette notification of Sri Lanka, Democratic Socialist Republic of Sri Lanka, 4th November 2019, Speaker's announcement. 11th November 2019, there will be a sitting of Parliament. According to the request of Honorable Prime Minister, as per the standing order number 16th, so Parliament is convened at 11:30 a.m. on 11th November 2019. Honorable Karo Jayasurya, Speaker. 7th November 2019, Sri Jayawardhanapura Kotte. Presentation of papers, Honorable Minister of Finance, Honorable Speaker. I shall present the annual report for Sri Lankan Airlines for the year 2019, and I request that it should be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee. Honorable Minister of Urban Development, Honorable Speaker, I shall present the annual report of Sri Lanka Buddhist University, at the same time the annual report of the University of Colombo, at the same time the annual report of the University of Peradeniya Agricultural Faculty, Post Agricultural Faculty, at the same time annual report of the Moratuwa University. These annual reports are referred to the House on this day, and I shall request that this should be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee. Honorable Minister of Local Government, Honorable Speaker, I shall present the annual reports of Kegol and Empire District Secretariats, and these reports should be referred to the Public Accounts Committee of Parliament. Honorable Minister of Plantation Industries, Honorable Speaker, I shall present the annual report of Kurunagala Plantation Company, and I request that report should be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee concerned. Honorable Minister of Public Administration and Disaster Management, Honorable Speaker, I shall present the annual report of the National Building Research Organization, and I request that report be referred to the Sectoral Oversight Committee concerned. Thank you. Presentation of committee reports. Honorable Harsana Rajakaruna, on behalf of him, Honorable Buddhika Patirana will present the committee report. Honorable Buddhika Patirana, Honorable Speaker, I present the committee report of the Committee on Economic Affairs. The copies of the document have been presented to Honorable Members of Parliament. Notices of motions. First, I motion Honorable Leader of the House. I move item 1, Honorable Speaker. Second motion, Honorable Leader of the House. Notice of motions and orders of the day. Prevention of offences related to sports bill, second reading. Second, National Innovation Agency bill, second reading. There are two bills. Honorable Speaker, so these are two subjects. We want to know whether these subjects are discussed separately. Even though Honorable Prime Minister convened the House, he has not yet come to Parliament. I don't know whether he is getting ready to go home. we want to know whether these two bills are discussed separately. Honorable Speaker, according to the decision taken at the party leaders' meeting, we are discussing things here. You can't take decisions within a short period of 1 hour. The parliament has been convened by Honorable Prime Minister, but he has not come to parliament. On behalf of the Prime Minister, I have come. You are not a Prime Minister. You are getting ready to go home. He should know the practices in Parliament, Honorable Speaker. If a Prime Minister convenes a Parliament, he should come to the...
It's no tradition for someone else to come and say, I'm the Prime Minister. No, this is not a normal sitting of Parliament, this is a special sitting. Let us not argue on that. Mama apita kiyanne mokadda danna.
Honorable Speaker, I am representing the Prime Minister at this moment. So what is the bill that you are discussing at the beginning? The first bill, Honorable Speaker, is related to Excellency the President, and it is the President who told us that this should be taken immediately. So this is related to the prevention of offences relating to sports, and we have introduced this bill thinking of the country. So why are you trying to prevent this? We are asking a very simple question from the leader of the house. We are asking whether these two bills are taken at the same time. We are discussing these two bills at the same time, and votes are taken separately. We are debating this. If you want, you can discuss the sports bill first. So we can discuss the sports bill first. We will take separately. First, we will discuss the sports bill. Honorable Minister. Honorable Speaker, there are some amendments which have been sent, but we are not ready to accept the amendments. Honorable Tilang Sumathipala has submitted these amendments. We are saying that we are not willing to accept the amendments. Right at the beginning, I have to mention this, Honorable Speaker. So this has been, the importance of this has been understood by the Honorable Prime Minister and He's in the President, and I am very happy that these sittings have been convened today. So this is not a bill which would bring some benefit to anyone of us. If you try to amend this, there are some problems in it. So this house was convened today with the approval of the whole house. So this was drafted by the Attorney General's Department. So no one of no member will benefit through this, but the sports field will get benefits from it. So if you pass this bill, the whole house will get the honor for that. So if there are some questions, I will answer those questions. So we want to entertain the opinions of the honorable members as well. I shall introduce the bill, Honorable Speaker. Honorable Sushil Premajayanth. So the subject which I prefer most is the subject of innovation. There are so many members to speak about sports. The bill has not been introduced. So I would like to move. That will be discussed at the second time. We moved that these bills should be taken together, but Honorable Dinesh Gunawardhan opposed it. So when we speak, it is very easy for us. If now we have already taken a decision, Honorable Bimal Ratnayak. Honorable Gamini Lokugi, you have 15 minutes, Honorable Member. Honorable Speaker, so this is the bill which is related for the prevention of offenses in the field of sports. Honorable John Amaratunga is trying to crack jokes here. We are not opposed to this. Those who have committed offenses should be punished. If these laws were available at the beginning, there will not be many persons in the sports field, in the field of cricket. This is a very important piece of legislation. These laws should have been drafted or introduced 10 or 15 years ago. There was no law in ICC for match fixing earlier, and as there was no law, some were able to escape. If the laws were available, many would have been punished. So there are a lot of incidents which have happened during the history of the world. The seniors in the sports field are well aware of these things. So that is why this piece of legislation is drafted here. But in the world, we have seen incidents of punishing wrongdoers. But in our country, such punishments were not given. And some were able to escape after committing offenses due to the reason that there were no laws. Earlier, this kind of laws were not available. ICCE made an inquiry, and as a result of that, match fixing charges were taken into consideration and laws were introduced to punish those who engage in match fixing. Continuously, this kind of offenses occurred in the sports field. In various countries, these kind of offenses occurred, and institutions in various countries revealed that there are some offenses of this sort, and as a result of that, they introduced laws. But some countries did not punish this kind of offenders due to the fact that there were no laws available in ICC. Match fixing, corruption, at the same time betting. In regard to these matters, there will be some provisions in this bill. In the first part of the bill, there are provisions to prevent match fixing and betting and gaming. In a certain betting or a gaming, if there is some jeopardy caused to the sports, there will be punishments. If the internal information is given in regard to sports, there will be punishments through the bill. at the same time accepting financial gains and financial benefits also is prohibited through this piece of legislation. Not participating in a sport, not participating in a game also is an offense. At the same time, withdrawing from the game on fraudulent causes also will be an offense according to this piece of legislation. At the same time, betting in regard to the results of the game also will be an offense. So these are some acts which some people may engage in intentionally. At the same time, if some sports person engages in the fact in the matter of preparing the turf of this of the playground in a fraudulent manner, that will be an offense. So, if any person tries to control another person for his own benefit or the benefit of some other person, that will be an offense. So, if someone someone influences another person to turn the result of a game to the benefit of some other person, that will be an offense. And betting and influencing another person to bet also will be an offense. And not revealing the relevant information also will be an offense. So these are the offenses which have been prohibited according to this piece of legislation. If there are some offenses which have been done in a certain joint venture, that also will be covered by this piece of legislation. So these there are provisions in the bill to the effect that the offences committed under this piece of the legislation are non-bailable offences, and the minister will make regulations in that regard. So we see a big amount of activities introduced through this. Throughout the history, this kind of offenses have been committed by some people. Honorable Arjun Ranatunga mentioned once that when I was revealing some fact that I was leveling charges against him, but at that time I was not leveling charges against Honorable Arjun Ranatunga. But he himself got entangled in that incident. I would like to explain that matter. In India, there is an instance called Criminal Investigation Bureau. When this type of offences occurred continuously, that institution gave a report to the world. A report was given by India. There was a certain cricket match in Lucknow. In that cricket match, a team of players had done match fixing. The captain of Pakistan, Salim Malik, Alex Tuo of England, and Martin Crowe of New Zealand, and Azhuddin of India. These cricketers got entangled in this. Even two cricketers of Sri Lanka also were got entangled in that. They had taken $15,000 from a person called Mupta. In other countries, there was an inquiry. ICC laws were not available, but in those countries, inquiries were made. They made inquiries based on the Indian report, and sports were prohibited for them throughout the life. Even in regard to the two players of Sri Lanka, there were complaints made to the Sri Lanka Cricket Board. But no inquiry was made. As there were no laws prevalent in ICCE, they were released. They said that there were no legal provisions to take action against these two cricketers. These cricketers say that there were no charges leveled against them. These charges were proved against them, but Sri Lanka Cricket Board did not accept these things. In the report of the Sri Lanka Cricket Board, it is not mentioned that these two cricketers were not were not doing that offence. So if the Sri Lanka Cricket Board had taken decision correctly, these two players also would not have been able to engage in cricket. As these laws are available, we can take action. So, as this law is available, a number of cricketers in the whole world had to face repercussions. So we are very happy that this type of laws are introduced here. If the sports field is to be strengthened, this type of laws should be introduced and these laws should be strengthened. During the recent past, there were such incidents in which sports persons were engaged in some illegal activities. But as the law was not available, they were able to escape. And due to that reason, even thieves talked about sports. And they also made various allegations in regard to the sports field. So if you want to protect sports, if you want to develop sports, this type of laws are important. And not only they are introduced, these laws should be implemented without party politics. This shouldn't be limited to cricket, but this type of laws should be there for other sports as well. You know that there are a number of cases in courts in regard to this type of offences. In Singapore, there was a certain court case. I think that case is pending in courts. That case was not settled. It is still being inquired into. So we can speak about these things in a descriptive manner, but the thing is, time is limited. So those who engage in corruption should be eliminated, and we appreciate this piece of legislation, and we would like to mention that our cooperation will be extended for this piece of legislation. Thank you very much. Honorable Charles Nirmalanathan.
Member, Nandri.
Thank you, Honorable Speaker, for giving me this opportunity. Today, we debate on prevention of offences relating to sports bill. This has been tabled by Honorable Harin Fernando, Minister of Sports. So we welcome this bill, because Sri Lanka is a small country. Even though it's a small country, we have achieved many things in sports in this country. Due to the corruptions in the field of sports, many sportsmen are unable to come forward. If the sportsmen and women are guided in a proper manner, this through this act, the shortcomings will be rectified, and the sports system will be strengthened in this country. So I would like to express this to Honorable Minister. So in the future, in the field of sports, will be free from political interferences. The influence of the sports leaders will be rectified, and also the contributions of the sports leaders, especially the sports leaders, will be abstained from influencing in the sports. At the same time, Honorable Minister, I would like to point out certain things about your ministry, particularly in the district of Manyar. Honorable Minister is not here. The officials should pay their attention. The, 2 years ago, the construction of a sports pavilion started. So 40% of the work has been completed. In the meantime, there was an intervention of the archaeological department. This particular department, 5 months ago, they submitted in writing that this the construction work could be continued. They have expressed this in writing. So I brought this from the archaeological department and handed over to the Ministry of Sports. Now 5 months have gone past, so the work has not yet been started. So I handed over the letter of the archaeological department, but the directors said that in the mid of July, the work, the construction work was supposed to be commenced. So in this regard, I personally requested Honorable Minister as well. So I don't know what has happened to that request. So far, the remaining work has not been started. No action has been taken so far, because the 40% of work has been completed, but now it, this particular ground is deserted now. So the officials in Manyar and the sports men, they have brought this to my attention. So they asked me as to when this is going to be started. So I would like to request Honorable Minister and the officials to start the work and complete the work. The money has been allocated. 40% of the work has been completed. So the archaeological department officials, they stopped the work in order to do their survey.
They say their materials are not available in that area, and they couldn't do anything for the people. This is very painful. in Mullaitivu district, in front of the Gotabaya army camp, the land in front of the camp, that land was developed, allocated for the district sports department, and I have made a request to the Prime Minister even. He had allocated funds through his ministry, the sports department, especially in our area. They don't take interest in our areas, and I think the Honorable Minister didn't take care of it, especially the area where the area is affected by war. Because of this carelessness, there are delays in the development work.
Speaker, when the election is on, the parliament has been summoned, but the government cannot even muster the required quorum. This is an election period, so summoning of parliament like this is a waste of public funds. So it seems the government is behaving without responsibility. Various pieces of legislation which are detrimental to the country are brought to this house on and off. So I request you to call for the quorum. Yesterday, the government and the opposition agreed to have the sittings today. So I request for the quorum, sir. We want to prevent thefts in sports, and I wonder why you also are supportive of moves towards theft in sports. Mic off. The people of this country have to listen to what's happening. No. You ask for the quorum because you want to protect the thieves. You are only trying to protect the thieves. Mic off.
හරිද?
අර අර හිටපු අමතිවරයාටත් බෑ ඒක කරගන්න. නෑ මේ මේක කරගන්න ඕනේ වෙලා තියෙන්නේ. ක්‍රීඩා පරිසරයේ දඩුවම් දෙන එක නවත්තන්න. මෙන්න 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 විපක්ෂයේ මන්ත්‍රීවරු. මම ඒක ටික මම අද ප්‍රෙස් එකේ කියන්නේ. අපි බයක් නැතුව කතා කරන්නේ මේකයි. නෑ ඔබතුමා කුලියට මේ කරන්නේ. කොන්ත්‍රාත්තයක් කරනවා හොරුන්ගේ හොරුන්ට දඩුවම් දෙන එක.
Again.
Hari. Honorable member, you can go ahead.
Please let me speak. Mayor of Order, Honorable Speaker, this is a very important piece of legislation for the country. So all parties agreed to take this up in the country, in the House today. So it is not at all...
Thank you, Speaker. Thank you, Speaker. This bill that is to stop all the misconducts in the ministry, in the sports, we have to look it the positive way. We have to look in that corner. We should bring good things for the people and the country, and we should not act party-wise, and we should not spoil those attempts to do good things to the country. We must go on forming rules and regulations that are good for the people and that are good for the country. This bill will contribute to the good of the sports. This will support all the matters that are helps to progress the sports industry in this country. As I have already mentioned, I mentioned about the Manna Stadium and Mulathivu Stadium. Honorable Minister showed me signal that he was listening to my speech from the outside. The Mulathivu and Manna playgrounds after this presidential election, there should be you should convene a meeting about these grounds, and you must go on with the work.
these two grounds and the Vavaniya grounds, the shortcomings in these stadiums and grounds must be looked into. Following this parliamentary election, there should be a meeting under your leadership and you have to take action to look into those shortcomings. The shortcomings in the provincial sports, the physical resources, certain materials are coming from the central to the provincial level, and you should check whether these materials are reaching the real hands of the players. There is a doubt about that. Whether the materials, sports materials, are given to the players. The officials, what do they do with these materials? The Honorable Minister must take action on this, and he has an eye on this. I welcome the bill in the House. Having said that, I wind up my speech.
Honorable Speaker, I am thankful to you and the Honorable Prime Minister for allowing us to discuss these regulations today and to legalize them. We spent a lot of money in this parliament today in order to punish the culprits in sports. When we are about to pass that piece of legislation, one member stood up and raised a technical matter in relation to that bill. I want to respond to two things raised by Honorable Lokudeep. Point of order. Now, there shouldn't be a debate. I am also supportive of this bill. I am not against this bill, but it is a responsibility of the government to maintain quorum. And this parliament cannot be used to slander the presidential candidates when an election has been called. You also have got into the stage of the thieves. You have obtained money. You have obtained money. That is why you speak like this. Don't try to pretend that you love sports. I know what you wanted to do. Honorable Speaker, Honorable Lokuge mentioned about something that happened. I have tabled this to be entered into the hands, to be included in the hands many times. There was a person, a bookkeeper known as Gupta, and the names of the players who were in that report compiled by that bookkeeper were punished. Mr. Desmond was the one who compiled our report. So I want to table this document because Honorable Lokuge and Mr. Sumitipal always raise this. Now, they can say anything about me because I'm a politician, but on Arvind Desilva, who brought a lot of glory to this country, is also slandered today. And that is what I cannot tolerate.
Mrs. Arjuna Rantungan, Arvind Desilva, as follows. I find that Mr. Arjuna Rantungan and Mr. Arvind Desilva are not guilty of cricket match fixing and related to malpractices as set out in the CBI report of October 2002. There is no prima facie evidence of violation of the rules.
Honorable Speaker, the anti-corruption bill was introduced in 2000. And now Honorable Lokuge is saying that it is good that it has come to Parliament today, but he has forgotten the fact that it was first introduced in 2000. Honorable Speaker, I request the Honorable Minister of Sports to impose these laws with retrospective effect if possible. Honorable Speaker, in 2009, there was a transaction. At that time, I was the competent authority on the interim board of Sri Lanka Cricket. And there was an Indian tour at the time. And we lost a lot in that tour. That is why I suggested that these laws should be enforced with retrospective effect if possible. We get about 13 to 14 million US dollars out of an Indian tour like this, but we were removed from the responsibility, and it was a secretary to the Minister of Sports who was handed over with the responsibility, and as a result of that, we got only 6.5 million US dollars. But out of that, we have received only 3.5 million US dollars. So lots of things might have happened on the sly for such low amounts to be received by the sports ministry. This is what has happened. Some people just come and go. They speak certain things and go. The Ministry of Sports could not introduce these anti-corruption laws because of the involvement of Mr. Tilanga Sumithipala, who runs the business that is known to everybody. Mr. Sumithipala has been involved in this bookie business since 1999. So I know we once had allegations of match fixing, and then the World Cricket Council established the anti-corruption unit, and the anti-corruption unit punished certain players who were instrumental who were involved in that match fixing scenario. I was also there. I also went and testified before that hearing. I'm a politician, and I can be slandered. I may be slung mud at. But what I'm really worried about is the fact that Mr. Aravind De Silva, who was a member of the World Cup winning cricket team, is also being slung mud at. There were sports ministers who asked why a round ball was not brought to him when a rugby ball was presented to him as a token. So that such is the type of sports ministers we had. Mr. C.B. Ratnayake actually wanted to stop corruption in cricket. Mr. Jeevan Kumar Tunga wanted to stop corruption, but they could not hold the post of Minister of Sports for long. Now that the onus is on Honorable Harin Fernando as a sports minister to take the cudgel and go ahead introducing these pieces of legislation. There are ample opportunities and ample avenues through which punishment can be meted out to the wrongdoers, but haven't happened. As I stated earlier, out of the aforesaid Indian tour some years back, we got only 3.5 million US dollars. We could easily have obtained 14 to 13 million US dollars if the transaction happened in the proper manner. So the amount that we have lost as a result of these malpractices and as a result of these illegal acts is enormous. I told I said earlier also that certain sports ministers have spent a colossal amount of money to make grounds in their own areas to be named after them. Now, we actually wanted to bring in this piece of legislation in order to stop corruption and robbery in sports. And this could even be extended to earlier periods also, to be effective with retrospective effect if possible. So, there is a report which is in my hand now, which needs investigation. So, a few days ago also I exposed certain things and I don't want to speak at length today. However, myself and Mr. Aravinda De Silva have been acquitted by a board appointed by Sri Lanka Cricket. So this particular piece of legislation, this piece of paper has to be sent to Mr. Lohuge, and you may take steps to translate this into Sinhala if possible and send the Sinhala copies too. You can sling mud at me, okay, because I'm a politician. But here there are certain elements that are funded by the bookkeepers who come and try to spoil these efforts by the government. Usually at a time like this, when an election is on, the members of parliament do not come to parliament because they are busy with their respective election work. However, this is actually an attempt that has been made in good faith in order to address pressing issues in sports. Mr. the gentleman of the caliber Mr. Thulangi Sumithi Bala will not go to LA and Karam and other sports, and they don't have any interest in developing such sports. They are only interested in sport, in cricket, because they know that it's a money spinner. So the Honorable Minister of Sports has not only brought the law, but also has brought in the regulations which are required to punish the persons accused of offences. The people can be dealt with severely, and they can even be sentenced, and they can be put behind bars if this law gets passed in this house. And we have some members of the sports. We have some members on the, very high officials in the Sri Lanka cricket who have been accused of various involvements in match fixing. Therefore, I request the Honorable Minister of Sports also to be alert on these things. When the administrative officers go abroad for various tours, they get the approval of the Honorable Minister of Sports. But there have been various occasions in the past when such approval was not obtained. A person gets about $750 a day. So if a person goes for 10 days, he gets $7,500. That is in addition to the food and lodging he gets. So it is of these things that these people are so interested in engaging in those tours. And when a person is found to have amassed wealth from sports, then not only should action be taken against them, but steps be taken to recover those ill-gotten monies. There are people who have amassed massive wealth and also lands running into acres. So those people must be exposed and they must be brought before the law, and the amount that should otherwise have gone to the development of sports should be recovered from them. And thank you for giving me this time. And I also request you to include this piece of document in the Hansard, and also take steps to send this to those two members of parliament. And then Honorable Bimal Ratnayaka, you have 13 minutes. Honorable Speaker, I'm happy to have this opportunity to speak a few words on this occasion when regulations related to sports are brought into this house. Earlier occasion also, we expressed our solidarity with the minister with regard to the passage of these laws. The COP and the Auditor General's Department have conducted a special investigation on the massive scale corruption that have taken place in the Sri Lanka cricket. So in the for last 20 to 25 years since the winning of the World Cup, the Sri Lanka cricket has had lots of acts of corruption taking place in it. Today, you are bringing in laws preventing the people who are engaged in the, betting from being involved in sports. But if the particular person was in the government instead of the opposition, I wonder whether this piece of legislation would have come here. I don't think you will bring in legislation like this if the particular person under controversy also jumps from side to side like Vasantha Senanayake. So you as a government have never proved as a government that you have acted against corruption and bribery. You have not never shown that. You have never shown any interest in the development of sports, or other two. You have not wanted to prevent robbery in cricket. Therefore, I do not personally believe that it is just because of the fact that a person who is in the betting business is involved in sports that you are bringing in this law. So, the administration becomes corrupt when the political leadership is corrupt. Now, somebody will say that you will pass this, but what happens is that when the...
We know that the senior officials of various institutions are involved in this. Even though this is something good, we don't believe that this will bring corruption to an end. We don't believe in such fairy tales. Now, Honorable Arjun Ramthunga stated that the vice chairman of the current cricket board has been involved in match fixing. So he is. I don't think he is involved in betting business. Now, when we look at this record, according to COP information, it is quite clear, Honorable Speaker. Now various forged emails have been prepared in countries like Bahamas. Now, for example, for cricket rights of Sri Lanka cricket, when tenders were called for cricket rights of Sri Lanka cricket, a false account has been prepared. And forged emails have been sent, and all details have been given to these agents about the tender procedure of Sri Lanka cricket. So both these parties are working together. So once various allegations are made, an audit was conducted because the money had been sent to a certain account in Bahamas. But when the audit, when the audit was conducted, the money had to be shown, and we have received these reports. So, honorable presiding member, even though it is known as gentleman's game, today cricket has become a, today the game of cricket is in a very serious crisis. So we know that the cricket the election for the Sri Lanka cricket board is second only to the presidential election. So it is good that it is good that those who are involved in betting have been removed from game of cricket. But that would not lead to the elimination of corruption. We know that certain information has been provided to co-op committee by some individuals who have been involved in corrupt practices before. That is why I stated that when we have corrupt political leadership, then all other institutions will be corrupt. So I don't think that this bill alone will help to eliminate corruption from sports. Then I also wish to state that politicians, we also see that politicians holding positions in sports policies too is wrong, because there are certain politicians because they appoint their relatives to various high posts under various corporations in that ministry. So even though some ministers speak about elimination of corruption, they too have appointed their relatives to higher posts under various corporations in their ministries. So even though this has been presented to eliminate corruption in cricket, there is a political element to this. But we don't believe with me that this would lead to total elimination of corruption from sports. And especially I must mention about cricketers. And there are certain cricketers we respect and we love, but even certain cricketers too, I don't know whether they've been involved in match fixing, but there have been cricketers, there are certain cricketers who are not interested in playing for their country. So that is also true. So when we win matches, we love our players, but we see that there are certain cricketers who are more interested in playing who are not interested in playing for the country. The players themselves know that there are various corrupt individuals involved in Sri Lanka cricket, and as a result, Sri Lanka cricket has suffered. Now we know that in Australia, when our team went to Australia, thousands of Sri Lankans came to watch matches and they cheered Sri Lanka cricket team. So we also know that even we must acknowledge that even cricketers, some cricketers have been involved in these corrupt practices, because we know that when higher positions are corrupt, then the lower positions too become corrupt automatically. So by removing those involved in betting, we cannot solve this problem. So we know that you can't do this, but anyway, we are happy that you are stepping to present this bill and to make such steps towards that end. And I also wish to state that in the co-op committee, various corrupt practices of cricket have been disclosed. And we know that cricket is one of the things that has brought fame and glory to the country. Therefore, once again, I wish to request you that there is a very good report prepared by co-op committee, and with the support of the Attorney General's Department, you can take action against individuals who have been involved in these corrupt practices. We these individuals are not alien to us. Honorable Bhima Ratnayak, I have made a request in this regard on a previous occasion as well. So once again, I will draw the attention of the core committee to this. Thank you, Honorable Speaker. I wish that you will keep your word. So even though this is not directly linked to this debate, I also wish to state to Honorable Presiding Member that President, His Excellency President Maithripala Sirisena has granted presidential pardon to a certain individual, to a certain person inmate who had been convicted of killing a young woman. So honorable presiding, honorable speaker, we are talking, we know that this decision of the president has undermined the law and order situation of the country, and he has also undermined the legal system of our country, because we know that this girl who was killed was a Sweden national. So this has brought huge, this has tarnished the image of the country in the international arena. This young woman's sister, the victim's sister, she has also written a very sensitive and very emotional letter about the release of this individual. So honorable speaker, we are wondering as to why president has done this. We don't know whether the president is related to this family, and we also know that our president has linked up with with the former president, and with IMB, and people also claim that there might have been financial transaction in this regard. Because if presidential pardon is granted, then there should be a certain procedure, and even in the legal, even certain legal luminaries have stated this. Therefore, the president came to power promising to hang certain individuals, but this individual has been found guilty of a very brutal murder. A proper legal procedure has been followed in convicting this individual, but now he has been granted a presidential pardon. And especially this is very serious, because this has been done when the presidential election is around the corner. Honorable member, you have one more minute. Honorable speaker, please don't interrupt my time. With your permission, I wish to make a comment about this. Under the constitution, there is a procedure laid down when presidential grants amnesty. He has to call report from the Attorney General's Department, and he has also call a report from the Minister of Justice. So only after that the president can grant pardon. But if this procedure has not been followed, then it is a very serious mistake. Now we know that it is also alleged that this pardon has been granted with the upcoming presidential election in mind. Therefore, I believe that the Parliament should pay attention to this matter, and Parliament should also. Parliament should pay attention to this matter, and this is a very serious problem with regard to the. Now you are in power. So what measures have you taken in this regard? You have not condemned this. You have so many media spokesmen, but none of them have condemned. None of them has condemned this statement or this pardon given by president. Now, in our policy statement, we have very clearly stated, in our manifesto, we have very clearly stated that the president's power to grant presidential amnesty should be abolished. It is there in page 94, but you are not told anything about this. So you don't have a policy in this regard. Honorable speaker, Now we have been talking about Easter Sunday right throughout. During the past few months, we have been talking about Easter Sunday attacks. Then there have also been attacks in Minwangode area. Then we have been able to come out of that situation. Now when this individual was released, who killed a Sweden young woman, then the entire world is talking about this. Honorable member, your time is up. So we condemn this presidential pardon, and this is an insult. This is an insult, and this is an affront to all women of this country. Because what right does the president have to grant such a pardon? What ethical rights does he have to grant such a pardon? We know that such pardons have been granted in the past by President Chacha or President Mahinda Rajapaksa. So, once again, but before winding up, I wish to state that if Honorable Harin Fernando remains as a sports minister, uh, So I wish to request you to strengthen laws to catch thieves, and with that I now speak. Thank you. Next honorable Tilang Sumati Pala. Honorable speaker, today, prevention of offences related to sports bill has been presented to Parliament, and we are in total agreement with this bill. And I brought several issues to the notice of the honorable minister this morning, and the minister might write we might write into certain problems when we implement certain sections or certain provisions of this law. And I believe that these some amendments can be introduced during the committee stage. But when this act is being implemented in at the practical level, there would be certain problems. Now this has not interpreted the offences under section 47. This is I mentioned about this, and then under section 47. So, honorable presiding member, honorable speaker, when we enforce this law, there will be certain problems. So we believe that there will be problematic situations in the future when provisions of this bill are implemented. So it has also been suggested that a special unit should be established by the Minister of Sports to investigate into corruption in sports. So this unit or the committee appointed by the minister. The minister has been given certain powers to pay or make allowances or to pay allowances to the members of this unit. And we also know that there is a police commission. So under the police commission, the IGP would be able to handle, the IGP will in charge of this unit. So in order to maintain independence of this unit, it has been stated that certain members would be appointed by the minister in charge of the subject of police. So under the existing law, the IGP cannot exercise certain powers, and if certain allowances are to be paid to these members of the unit, then it should come under the purview of the Inspector General of Police. So there is no problem with regard to monitoring of that, but we believe that the payment of money from the Ministry of Sports, this would give an additional powers to the Ministry of Sports. So we don't believe that the Minister of Sports would be able to take over certain powers of the Inspector General of Police. And similarly, under Section 11 of in the Section 11 of this bill. So once again, Honorable Speaker, the Secretary of the Ministry of Sports will have powers to make a request to provide information to individuals, and if such information is not given, then the Secretary can take action against such individuals. Now we know that earlier there was an occasion where the mobile phone of Mr. Sanat Jayasurya was requested, but due to personal reason he refused to hand over his mobile phone, so he was banned from all cricket activities for a period of 3 years. There was no allegations against him with regard to match fixing. There was no evidence against him with regard to match fixing, but anyway, due to non-cooperation, because he refused to hand over his mobile phone, on that basis, he was suspended from all cricket activities for a period of 3 years. So, We believe that the director of sports has been given, we believe that such powers should be given to director of sports. So if all investigations are to be carried out under the purview of the director of sports, and we know the secretary is the minister's representative, so there will be certain legal repercussions with regard to the conduct of investigations by the secretary of the ministry. So in addition, when paying money the inspector general, we know that traditionally the IGP can pay allowances to certain individuals, but under this bill, special powers would be given to the IGP to make such payments. So therefore, I believe that special attention should be paid to this matter. And similarly, certain powers have been given to the director of sports. So when there are problems with regard to sports, the director of sports will look into such problems, and he can also enlist the support of this unit for such activities. And so the minister, the sports minister, will remain above this unit. So when this document was prepared, what I see is when this document was prepared, we know that in countries like Australia, New Zealand, England, there are incorporated bodies to conduct such investigations. And they have been registered under the Registration of Organizations Act. And then these incorporated bodies have their own CEOs, and they have their own managing directors, and they can conduct their own investigations. But in Sri Lanka, the situation is quite different. So I believe that in the future, when enforcing this bill, there would be problems. So once again, we know that as a result of match fixing, people have lost their faith in sports. So people are also making various allegations, and especially when match is lost, then people think that a certain place might have been involved in match fixing. Therefore, it is important to rebuild the trust in sports in order to protect the reputation of our sports. Therefore I believe that this act would help to eliminate corruption in sports to a certain extent. But I believe that the minister should keep certain powers with himself rather than handing over such powers to the director of sports and the other individuals, whether it is in cricket or football or hockey or rugby. I believe that when certain provisions of this bill are implemented, there would be problems. Now, some members try to imply that we are opposed to the presentation of this bill, but it is not true. I am always supportive of this bill, and I have to stress that no allegations have ever been made against me with regard to financial transactions or match fixing. But I have stated on the previous occasion as well, since my family members are involved in betting, that should not be used to swing money at me. I have not been involved in this betting business. But certain individuals try to implicate me in these incidents. But in fact, they are insulting the players. Now we know that at a game played at Suryavela, there were accusations of match fixing. A former player, one of the former players, Pramodaya Wickremasinghe, lodged a complaint, and subsequent to that complaint, a former captain, Angelo Matthews, faced three inquiries. One inquiry was conducted by Anti-Corruption Unit of ICC, and two other inquiries were conducted with regard to taxes. So these inquiries were conducted for a period of two to three years, but it was proved that he has never been involved in match fixing. So we know that if players have been involved, then they should be punished. That should be the practice. But if we make unfounded allegations against players, then they would not be in a proper mental condition to play the game of cricket. So I am not trying to respond to certain allegations made against me purely to sling mud at me, but since the document prepared by Mr. Desmond Fernandez was submitted, I should say that I have not seen that document. And I know that this report is with regard to a preliminary investigation. So due to certain technical issues, we could not proceed with that investigation, and we have suspended that inquiry. So as the Board of Cricket, we could not take any action against players who have been named in that report. Honourable Arjunarthan, what's your point of order? Honourable Speaker, that investigation was completed, and I have also tabled that report. He is talking about a match that was played at Suryavela, and it has also been alleged that Honourable Tilam Sumathi Pala had visited the dressing room, and it was only after that the match was changed. Honourable Speaker, I have also taken up the time of two of other members. That is about the other bill. Okay, I'll take up my time then at the appropriate time. Now you have only 3 more minutes. However, Honourable Speaker, I must very clearly state this is only an attempt to swing mud at me. When the match was stopped due to rain, I went to the dressing room. So subsequently, it was alleged that Angelo Matthews betrayed the match. Or he was involved in match fixing. So, Honourable Speaker, we know that when certain allegations were made against our captain, the mentality of the entire team collapsed. So we are engaged in politics, Honourable Speaker, but I am ready to face any mudslinging. But we should not insult our players. In the entire country, only one individual is talking about this issue. No one else is talking about this. We know that this particular individual, he destroyed all institutions under him. We know that when he was charged in the ports, he destroyed all institutions under the Ministry of Ports. And then when he was in charge of petroleum, he destroyed all institutions under the Petroleum Ministry. And you have only 1 more minute. So, Honourable Speaker, they are trying to cover their own mistakes and own offences by slinging mud at others. We don't have time to respond to such wild allegations, Honourable Speaker. Once again, I wish to stress that we extend our plus cooperation to this bill. But when implementing certain projects of this bill, there would be practical problems. Therefore, and this bill has also given wide powers to the Minister of Sports, and and honorable speaker, so this bill has given so much power to the Minister of Sports and the divine speech. Thank you, honorable leader of the house. Are there any other members from the government? Application of sports related sports bill committee stage. Honorable Dilang Sumathipala. The amendments moved by you have not been submitted in the form of amendments. The prevention of offences, related sports bill, clause 1 House agrees, clause 2 House agrees, clause 3 House agrees, clause 4 House agrees, clause 5 House agrees, clause 6 House agrees, clause 7 House agrees, clause 8 House agrees, clause 9 House agrees, clause 10 House agrees, clause 11 House agrees, clause 12 House agrees, clause 13 House agrees, clause 14 House agrees, clause 15 House agrees, clause 16 House agrees, clause 17 House agrees, clause 18 House agrees, clause 19 House agrees, clause 20 House agrees, clause 21 House agrees, clause 22 House agrees, clause 23 House agrees, clause 27 House agrees, clause 25 House agrees, clause 26 House agrees, clause 27 House agrees, clause 28 House agrees, clause 29 House agrees, clause 30 House agrees, clause 31 House agrees, clause 31 House agrees, clause 32 House agrees, clause 33 House agrees, clause 35 House agrees, clause 36 House agrees, clause 37 House agrees, clause 38 House agrees, clause 39 House agrees, clause 40 House agrees, clause 41 House agrees, title House agrees, House resumes. I wish to announce that the bill was considered at the committee stage and passed without amendment. Third reading, Honorable Minister. I move that the bill be read for the third time. House agrees. I wish to announce that the prevention of offences related to sports bill was read for the third time and passed without amendments. Honorable Leader of the House. National Innovation Agency Bill, second reading.
Would you
debate? We can pass it.
Will you speak, Honorable Member? Honorable Leader of the House, would you please name a member to the chair? Honorable Asu Mar Singh will take the chair.
Honorable
Susil Premajayant. Honorable Presiding Member. National Innovation Agency Bill is a very timely bill. I also was able to function as the Minister of Science and Technology. There was a committee on science and technology, and that committee has been made the nucleus of scientific affairs. I was able to present a cabinet paper in that regard, and even the cabinet approval was given for the cabinet paper which I presented. So I think my proposal has been extended through this bill. Today we are introducing this piece of legislation of National Innovation Agency bill. So there are so many aspects of this, especially to promote, it intends to promote the scientific affairs. Even on the political stage, we talk about how we can bring the economy of the country forward, and we always say that for that we need innovation. And we want to get the help of the human resources to earn foreign exchange, especially with the value addition. You know that there is a big gap between imports and exports in the country, and if we have this type of activities, we can decrease the gap between imports and exports, and also we can decrease the gap in the payment of balance. Earlier there was a commission of innovators, and it did have only limited role. In 1970s that commission was available, but today we are strengthening this field, especially we want to have an agency for that, and this piece of legislation fulfills that requirement. We want to especially identify the obstacles for innovation. As I think, we want to have a lot of researchers for this. There are universities. Only not 1% of the GDP is allocated for researchers. Countries in which there is a big economic development, we can see a big allocation for researchers. Israel, Japan, South Korea, in these countries we see a big allocation being made to researchers from the GDP. Especially private sector contributes a lot of capital for researchers. Within the market system in foreign countries, they want to have innovation. If there is no innovation, they cannot bring growth for their economies. So research and development has been given priority by the private sector in foreign countries. But in our country, such a system is not available. At the same time, the private sector is not strong enough to inject capital to this research. So until the private sector is able to do such tasks, the government has to fulfill that requirement. During the tenure of His Excellency Mahinda Rajapaksa, according to a proposal of Honorable Thista Vitarana, we were able to establish an institution called SRIT. There was a certain institution for nanotechnology, and its second phase also has been started by now. In the world, nanotechnology has been given much prominence. It is through nanotechnology we are able to identify a lot of elements which are prevalent in the country. At the same time, we know that cinnamon can be used to control the sugar level in blood. Nanotechnology can be used for that. at the same time, even for manufacturing fertilizer, we can have the use of nanotechnology. So there are a lot of technologies which are emerging in the country. There are technologies such as biotechnology, gene technology, and nanotechnology. These technologies are very important for our economic growth. The world is going forward with the use of these technology. Now there are ones who have obtained doctorates in this field. We were able to introduce a postgraduate institute as well for this field. So the government of His Excellency Rajapaksa identified the importance of these technologies. For that, I think the whole education system should be restructured with today, STEM education has been commenced in the world, but in our country we don't see such a move. So we want to have a certain program for that. Today, by now, there is a certain system called STEM Plus A. So it is through the STEM education that we can create innovators and researchers. When I was the minister in charge of this subject, we were able to start innovation labs. UNDP provided assistance to us for that purpose. ITI premises was used for that, and we allocated money for starting innovation labs. So these fields have to be improved a lot. Biotechnology lab was also to be started, but as we did not have enough allocations, we were not able to complete that. Countries like Singapore, South Korea, this field has developed a lot. Today our population is 22 million. At least 22,000 researchers should be in our country to suit the population. But only 5,200 odd researchers are available in the country. But only a few engages in applied researchers. The others engage in fundamental research activities. In South Korea, we can find only one product, Samsung television, Samsung telephones. Every type of product is available with that brand. You see how fast the South Korean how fast South Korea is going forward. So that is innovation. But in our country, researchers do not have enough funds to engage in research activities. The funds allocated for universities are not enough, and policies have to be created for that. The government has to inject capital for that purpose. So we want to improve innovation. At the same time, we have to emphasize the fact that allocation should be made for this. There should be a certain policy as to how our resources, especially elements or mineral resources, can be used. So this is, you see, we can see a small meeting of the leaders of the government side. So at least there should be a meeting here, because you do not have people to participate in your meetings outside. You do not pay attention to our speeches. They have their own meeting here. Please go outside and have your meeting outside the house, Honorable Presiding Member. So this is what has happened to our country. We are introducing innovation bill. We are contributing ideas here, but within parliament we can see a small meeting of the government side. So this is what has happened to our country. This should be changed. This method should be changed. there should be a certain contribution of the members for legislation. If not, the people will think that these 225 members are not of use. So that is why we have fielded a candidate who has a certain vision in this regard. He has been chosen now chosen away from these 225 members. We have been talking about this, but we have not yet been able to achieve the targets. Countries like Bangladesh, Vietnam have surpassed us. But where are we? If we want to face the competition in the world, the government has to understand this. The government has to make restructuring programs in the government, in the education sector. For that, there should be a leadership, and people should flock around such a leadership. Giving things free of charge will not be useful. The universities do not have enough allocations. Allocations have been given to the Ministry of Science and Technology, but universities have not been given enough allocations. It is good that you have introduced this bill, but if you want to meet the targets of this, you have to give attention towards research and development. Thousands of Sri Lankan scientists are working abroad. They are always ready to come here and give us support. I had a certain program in that regard. But what I want to say is that if you want to go forward, you have to bring those scientists here, and they should be given opportunity to work here. We want academics for this field. And if you want to take the country forward, we have to find academics, professionals and scientists. All these persons should be used to develop this field. We should have a policy in regard to mineral resources of our country. At the same time, there should be a certain value addition for human resources, for mineral resources. We should not try to export people for earning foreign exchange. You see the price of a unit of electricity. Sometimes we have to buy a unit of hydroelectricity for an amount of 39 rupees. So if you develop the technology, you can produce electricity at a low cost. These things come under the field of innovation. And due to that reason, Honorable Presiding Member, this bill is very important. When we send proposals to the Ministry of Finance to the effect that allocation should be made for innovations, but there are no persons who would take that responsibility. Only 300 million rupees is allocated. That is not enough. At least 15 or 20 million rupees has to be spent by a university to conduct symposiums. At the same time, capital should be provided for innovators. There should be a certain fund for that. If without that, we can't go forward. We were able to win gold medals in this field of innovation. Some innovators made very important inventions, but their innovations or inventions were not appreciated. So there should be a certain fund to encourage innovators. There should be a policy in regard to the natural resources of our country. These natural resources should not be exported without value addition. And we want to think of new ways how these mineral resources can be used. But our policy is selling everything. We sold Hambantota Port. We are going to sell oil tanks. Ultimately, you will sell even the people of the country. So you have to change the system. There are resource persons, but they are not coming back to our country. What is the reason? They have no opportunities. In Singapore, there is a person called Arjun Mahendran who has robbed a bank in our country. Please sit down. No one went to Singapore. Please sit down. Please do not disturb my speech. Sri Lanka did not have any transactions with Singapore in regard to oil. In Singapore, we do find only an oil market, but they are not. Singapore is not a country where oil is manufactured. So Sajinwas has to say the reason why he was not given nominations last time. So when we are making such a very important speech, what is he talking about? We are talking about things which have not been done in this country yet. I would like to give a challenge to you. Can you explain what a nanometer is? You stand up and explain what a nanometer is. Any member of the government side can give a definition to the nanometer. So you do not say, as you are there, I gave that challenge to them. Could you please tell a unit of a nanometer? That is... A meter has been reduced and one unit is called nanometer. The government members have no such knowledge. But you are talking about some other things. You are talking nonsense. You are only telling something which has been told by someone else. So I want to, digital means the next step of information technology. So that is a very improved technology. There are three things around a nucleus: proton, electrons and neutrons. So that is concerned with microphysics. Digital meaning giving some numbering. You can give a definition in a manner that other people would not understand. So I am explaining it in a simple way. So in simple terms, that is something that we do using fingers. So technology has been brought to our fingers. If you say protons and neutrons, people will not understand. So that comes from particles. So you ask it from Honorable Asumar Singh. His name also is Asu. So I am thankful to him. So this is what has happened. If something important is spoken here, you are only disturbing us. At least you should know what this bill contains. Honorable members are not aware of this. You will get the decision on 16th. When our candidate wins, we will be able to develop the country through innovation, and we are ready for that. With those remarks, I conclude. Thank you very much. Next, Honorable Dr. Bandula Gunawardana, you have 10 minutes. Could you please give me 15 minutes? I am especially thankful to this house. It is very rarely that we have to thank the house in this manner. I also was able to participate in the consultative committee meeting. His Excellency the President has introduced this piece of legislation which is very useful to the country. We introduced a number of amendments in the committee meeting. I am very happy that our amendments have been entertained, and I thank the officers of the Attorney General Department and also the chairman of the committee in that regard. Honorable presiding member, we mentioned that the secretary to the Minister of Education should be included to this agency. So it is through the children that we should start innovation. Right from the school age, the concept of innovation should be commenced. You know that in our country there is an exam-centric education. We want to make a change. Actually, we were able to do such a change when I was the Minister of Education. Before I was the Minister of Education, there were only three streams: science, arts and commerce. But with difficulty we were able to introduce a technology stream. There we introduced three subjects: engineering technology, biotechnology and science and technology. That was a very difficult task. When a new change is made in our country, there come a lot of obstacles. We have to face a lot of allegations when we make some changes. But this syllabus, which was introduced with difficulty, has become very popular in the country. Among A-level students, this syllabus has become very popular. School children were able to make a lot of innovations through that. The president went to Gampaha Bandaranaike College, and the president was ready to give aid to a child who had invented a rocket. Then the president was ready to help the student who had invented a rocket, because the president himself mentioned that the world that he couldn't see would be made available to be seen by the children of the future. You know that how children invented things like motor vehicles. I would like to thank Honorable Minister of Laxman Kiriyal for bringing that program to university level. In universities, technology faculties were commenced. There were medical faculties and management faculties and art faculties in universities earlier. But even though there were such faculties, there was not a technology faculty available in a university. Today in 11 universities there are technology faculties and students have been enrolled. Any student has not passed yet. In 2020 the first graduate will come out. That will be a turning point in the history of Sri Lanka. At the same time, we were able to do something when Honorable Tissa Vitharana was the Minister of Science and Technology, and it is during his time this nanotechnology was introduced. No one had understood what nanotechnology was then, but Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksa provided assistance to Honorable Tissa Vitharana to introduce nanotechnology to our country. In my electorate, there was a certain land of 50 acres. That was near the place where Mahinda Rajapaksa College was being constructed. I was the person who went to Urban Development Authority to deposit funds to take that land for constructing that institution of nanotechnology. Honorable Sushil Premajayanta also provided assistance for that in Homagama Pitihena Mahanavatta Nanotechnology Research Institution is established, and a lot of researchers are carried out there. Researchers are done here with the assistance of the private sector to make innovations. Whatever government may come into power, there should be investment for this. We have to obtain aid from countries like Japan, China and South Korea, and we want to broaden this institution. I have to make a request from this house that we all should provide assistance for that. So that is why I suggested that the governing body should include the secretary to the Minister of Education. So at the same time, I was able to point out that the director of the Department of Commerce was not included in the governing council. In the commerce Department of Commerce, there are professionals who have knowledge in regard to international trade. So the Ministry of the Department of Commerce should come under the purview of the Ministry of Internal Trade. A lot of educated professionals are there, but unfortunately this government has not included that department under the purview of the Ministry of Internal Trade. It has been included under the Ministry of Industries. When a certain item is to be reshipped, there should be a certificate of origin that is issued by the Department of Commerce. So the Department of Commerce has the ability to provide recognition for the items that we export. Now you know that there are a lot of shady deals in regard to the trade of cinnamon, cashew nut, etc. So I personally mentioned that this should not be done. I have been able to educate people in regard to the manner how this certificate is given. So I asked the minister to take that department to his ministry. But unfortunately, this was gazetted under the Ministry of Industries. So this is a fault in regard to the policies in our country. So this department should come under the Ministry of International Trade, but according to personal agendas, this real procedure has been changed. Thereby, some shady deals would be done. Even though the Ministry of Internal Trade is there, the Department of Commerce is not available under that ministry. So that is why I suggested that the director of industry should be included in the governing body. And that was recognized, and I have to thank the minister in regard to the matter that he entertained my proposal.
That was an officer with a postgraduate degree on science and technology. In addition to that, actually we don't have postgraduate degrees in this field of expertise much. And as it is required to manage these things, persons with knowledge on innovation should be available for these innovation sites. And that suggestion has been accepted and it has been included in this, and I am really happy about these amendments, and we are happy about the amendments and about the act and the concept put forward by the HE. We have to be really thankful, and after 16th we will have a new regime, new change in this country, and there we will be able to promote innovations and further, and that should be the responsibility of any government that would come to power. And in our country, many scholars have pointed out Kumarathunga Munidasa, who was a scholar, a language expert, stated that a nation which is not interested in innovations would fail. So it is very clearly explained by our scholars even in the past. And during the past period, the people had a tendency to imitate, and we were not interested in innovations much. And the government too has a responsibility to allocate financial provisions on innovation. So in future budgets, more allocations should be made on research, innovation and experiments, and focusing on the experts and scholars. And that is the aim of the future government that we would make. Thank you very much. Next, Honorable Sunil Handonetti. Honorable Presiding Member, especially we are taking up the Act on Innovation and National Innovation Agency Bill, and we had suggested certain amendments from our party. And especially at the moment in our country, the New Inventors Commission works on inventions a lot. And in Sri Lanka, as per the Intellectual Property Act, and the databases are maintained by this New Inventors Commission. But we didn't have any representation of this commission in this, and therefore we hope that a commissioner or an assistant commissioner of this commission should be included in the committee, and that amendment has been accepted, and I think that's going to be a positive move, and that should really happen. And I would like to be thankful to the Honorable Minister for accepting that suggestion. And also there was another issue regarding the head of the institute that should be the innovation officer, and the qualifications of the officer should have the expertise in management with a science or technology degree from a recognized university and a postgraduate qualification. Here it says that it should be either science or technology and a postgraduate in innovation. So that was the basis earlier, but it's not possible to run this institute in this manner, because we don't have innovation postgraduates in Sri Lanka. Therefore, we came out with an amendment to exclude the word and to replace it by stating innovation subject out of innovation or technology or science. Because practically, I have seen Honorable Presiding Member, this institute is also summoned to cope, and in it happens under the observations of the Auditor General. It's established as a corporation. The Chief Administrative Officer the act may specify the qualifications for the administrative officer, but when selections are done practically, we don't find such people, then we won't be able to maintain this institute. So attention should be attention has been focused on that as well. So the government has amended it stating a postgraduate degree specifying a choice. So I would like to be thankful for accepting these two amendments. The reason is it's really fruitful for the future generation, for their journey forward. Today we know that our country, Honorable Chairman, we don't have much space in our country. Even if we try to develop agriculture, there is a certain limit. And also we have outdated, dependent mentality sometimes. And we are a nation which is going backwards. We are not going forward with the international arena. So in this setup, this entrepreneurial innovation, scientific innovation, and all these are important, because it should be based on our knowledge, and it should be knowledge-centered and blended with digital technology. We may be able to acquire anything in this cyberspace because we have such experts in the country. We divide countries as powerful countries and weak countries. That doesn't depend on the weapons. It depends on nature, on pure water, because water is more important than fuel. And also there should be intellectuals, people with good brains and water. So these are the criteria important to classify the countries. Our children can achieve this software world. Even today in USA, UK, they use certain parts of software invented by us. And in the cyber technology too, we have exports. And in California, one graduate from the Moratorium University has invented a software which is used in California. And these software are used or released to the internet, and then the internet would not inquire who the owner is, who the inventor is, and from which country the person is. They would not inquire whether the person is from an African country or a European country, but the software would be utilized. So what is important here is the innovation, and then the country would get the patent ownership licenses as well. So a national institute of this nature is really important for the country. And what we propose is that this house should have the capacity to select children with innovative ideas, innovative skills, and also to develop a database on such children. If we don't have information and data, we will not be able to do anything. Persons who cultivate do it without any specific aim. And sometimes they manufacture lemon products but with no focus. I will cite one example. These days we talk a lot about politics. I went to meet certain cinnamon cultivators in the Yandramathur area, and I asked them as to what they produce out of cinnamon. Actually, they know only about cinnamon that is used as a spice. Honorable presiding member, that can be used as a raw material. It's like when we develop timber, we have to build a chair or something, a furniture out of that. But these people, they are not aware of at least making a perfume or a toffee or a biscuit or toothpaste out of cinnamon. At least to make a toothpick out of cinnamon timber. because they only know how to cultivate cinnamon and to export cinnamon. But this new technology should be taken to the village level through the innovation process. So we have to get the society involved in this process. Therefore, this is a very important move, and also the amendments are, I would like to be thankful to the minister for accepting these amendments. With that, I conclude. Thank you. Thank you. Next, Honorable Iran Vikramaratne. Thank you. Today, we are taking up the National Innovation Agency Bill, and at this moment, I would like to be thankful to the opposition for the support extended. And I think this was, this could have been brought in several years ago, but because it's really important. And Honorable Handun Nitti also stated, came out with certain practical ideas, and especially about this innovation officers and about the collection of data regarding innovations and the distribution of data and utilization of data for further innovative for further innovations or such purposes. So those were the ideas expressed by him, and actually we would welcome those ideas. And also Honorable Susil Premajayanthi is also here. He asked what a nanometer is in the house. Actually I thought I should all would not know this. I have an economic financial background, but however, even I got to know about it because my daughter Sohanya studies in the nanotechnology, works in the Nanotechnology Institute, and then minister was Honorable Susil Premajayanthi. And that is why actually I got to know about this, because otherwise our subject streams are different. These parliamentarians have had their expertise in different fields. Anyway, we have very good experts in this house. However, Honorable Bandula Gunawardena in his speech stated that about certification given, certain institutes are located in mismatching ministries. And actually I also agree, because these things are done to favor certain people maybe. But it didn't happen, it has happened under all the regimes. And it's really unfortunate. So we would propose that when the new constitution is drafted, I have stated this earlier as well, the number of ministers should be limited to 30, and these portfolios should be specified in the constitution. And going beyond that, I would like to state that these government institutions should also be specified under each ministry. Because for last 40 years, no leader has done this classification following a scientific manner. It has not been done by the previous presidents, and in future too, it's really, we are not sure whether it's going to happen. And when talking about future, the new president, when he would present his budget in several weeks time, and in the budget he has specified about R&D, research and development, and he has stated that he would allocate 0.8% allocations out of GDP on research and development. But now the allocations are really less. R&D are really important and the government's contribution should be available. Because the private sector would not invest on R&D at once. And in addition to that, he has stated about financial allocations to be made to the new inventors. There are new inventors with very good ideas in the country, but they don't have the required funds to do innovations. When they go to a bank, the bank would ask about the capital available. When there is no capital, then the bank or the money lending institutions would ask for a collateral. But when that also doesn't happen, they only have the intellectual property or their innovative idea or their passion or their enthusiasm only. So they have that feeling to make it, take it to a commercial level. So here the government would establish a fund with a value, a fund, and would be allocations would be made as the initial capital for innovations. And in addition to that, start-up funds have also been proposed by the next budget, and 1,000 crores would be allocated to provide capital to those who are new to this field of innovation. And also I would like to mention about digitalization and projects on information technology, maybe knowledge based or maybe business process based. They may be based on enterprises and businesses using information technology and software. Four years ago, Sri Lanka could get 900 million and now it has increased, exceeded even 1,000. We can triple it in future because there is a higher demand in the world. In the past, Swambar Anasinghe Premadasa, when talking about the garment factories, he wanted to open 200 garment factories, but people were not sure that it could be done. So for the next economic revolution, it would happen through digitalization and information technology would be important. We have a demand but a problem of supply. And in these IT institutes, they would get a tax reduction, and also the dividend tax, when it's divided, the dividend tax would be lifted. It would be zero.
All ICT companies will be reduced to 5%. This will be Sri Lanka's part of the export strategy, and this will be an industry which will be given prominence, because we believe that this industry can increase its revenue to Sri Lanka by threefold in a very short span of time, by threefold. It was about 800 to 900 million just about 4 years ago. It's already passed $1.2 billion of exports. It can become Sri Lanka's number one or number two export at the least within a 5 year framework. You think, Mama make a QA.
With the new president assuming office, he would present these things under his new budget. Thank you. National Innovation Agency Bill, second reading. House agrees. Yes. Committee stage. National Innovation Agency Bill, Clause 1, House agrees. The amendments proposed in the Sectoral Oversight Committee have been included in the amendments proposed by the government. Clause 1, agreed. Clause 2, agreed. Clause 3 agreed, clause 4 agreed, clause 5 House agrees, agreed, clause 6 to propose amendments, Honorable Minister, clause 6, after clause line 12, the following should be included.
අතිරේක ලේකම්වරයෙකුට නොඅඩු නිලයක් දරන එම අමාත්‍යවරයා විසින් නම් කරන ලබන නිලධාරියෙකු. වාණිජ දෙපාර්තමේන්තු
Director General or a nominee of a commercial department. Under the New Inventors Support Act, a commissioner or a person nominated by the commissioner. Lines 13 and 14 should be to be deleted and substituted with the following. The chairman or a representative Clause 6, House agrees as amended, yes. Clause 7, House agrees, yes. Clause 8, House agrees, yes. Clause 9, House agrees. Clause 10, House agrees. Clause 11, House agrees. Clause 12, House agrees. Clause 13, House agrees. Clause 14, amendments to be proposed by the Honorable Minister. Honorable Chairman, Clause 14, 23 and 22 lines to be deleted and substituted with the following. As a subject in the university, a person with a postgraduate qualification in innovation should be appointed. Clause 14, House agrees as amended, yes. Clause 15, House agrees, yes. Clause 16, House agrees, yes. Clause 17, House agrees, yes. Clause 18, House agrees, House agreed. Clause 19, House agrees. Clause 20, House agrees. Clause 21, House agrees, yes. Clause 22, House agrees, yes. Clause 23, House agrees, yes. Clause 24, House agrees, yes. Clause 25, House agrees. Clause 26, House agrees. Clause 27, House agrees. Clause 28, House agrees. Title, House agrees. House resumes. The bill has been considered in the committee stage and passed with amendments. Third reading, Honorable Minister. I move that the third reading should happen, and in case of any inconsistency and the subsequent and permission should be given for other consequential amendments. House agrees, yes. Third reading, National Innovation Agency Bill has been passed with amendments. Adjournment of the House. Honorable Chairman, House adjourns until 3rd of December. Accordingly, House adjourns till 3rd of December.